Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great privilege to be here with you guys this afternoon. It's also great to have most of our church here. They came and they are happy to be here with you guys. Thank you for praying for us. I know you guys have been praying for us for this month, and we need so much of your prayers. Amen. We go to the Word of God, and I ask you to open your Bibles in Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. As you're going to meditate this morning, this afternoon, in the Great Commission. I was a little tangled here. It's our focus in our church. It's the glory of God, amen. Like everybody, all the body of Christ. But this at this particular time, we have been working and thinking about how can we evangelize. So the what we've been working on since January, and is already in the middle of February, is evangelism is the mission of the church and the mission of all of us. A lot of times you will find people saying, and you hear that a lot, that, oh, this is for some kind of a gift person. They has to know this much of theology to go out and preach the gospel. They have to do this, or they have to do that. They have to go through seminary. We're going to see from the scriptures that it's not that, and it's not for some. It's for all the believers to go out and preach the gospel. We have been focused on that in our church. And every Sunday, on Sundays, we are on our main service, we are teaching that as because we want to make sure that everybody understands how important it is. It is actually a commandment, and sometimes we don't see it as a commandment. We see it as that would be nice. So Jesus didn't say like, well, if you have some free time, you have nothing else to do, why don't you go out and evangelize? That's not what Jesus said. And some other times we think like, what about if I, you know, if I could do this or I could do that, maybe I can go out and evangelize. If I will have the time, if I will have, the ability or the gift. But it's not, it's a commandment. And sometimes we disobey God's commandments, and because we think, maybe this is not what I have to do. It's some commandments in the Bible are so easy to obey, right? You look to those and you even learn, even if you wasn't raised on a Christian family, you know you will not steal, right? You shouldn't steal. You understand that, right? Everybody knows that? Even the culture tells us that, right? Don't steal. Like you tell your kids, is this your toy? No, just put it back, right? And it's a commandment, right? You know that? That's a commandment? Of course it is a commandment. It's easy for us to know that it's a commandment because it's something that we have been taught to do. Let me tell you, evangelism is also a commandment. And you also have to do it. It's not an option. It's not like, well, let's see. Maybe one day. No. It's a commandment. Don't steal. Go and evangelize. It's also a commandment. So the Bible says on Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents and with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. I would like to go over this step by step, these verses that I just read, and try to understand a little more about it. I know you hear this a lot, right? This is the Great Commission. Everybody preaches this. Everybody says this, right? But let's go little by little, and understand what actually it's in here. I think you have the outlines there, right? So To start with, the verse 15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." So to start with, Jesus said, go and proclaim the gospel. And as I was saying before, it's not an option. It's not to do as an extra. Maybe I should, you know, maybe I should follow the Ten Commandments and maybe I should give an extra, right? I will go and evangelize. No, that's not what Jesus said. He says to go, just go. The first thing, so it's go to the whole creation, go and proclaim the gospel. So we have to do it. So the first thing we need to know is, what is the gospel? What are you telling people? You need to go. You understand that if you are saved, you must go and tell the others about the gospel. What you need to know is, what is the gospel? What am I telling people? What's the message? And it's so much wrong message, right? It's so easy to, you go out and you give the wrong message. Sometimes you're talking to somebody, and you tell something, and the person understands something else. Even on our common things, right? All the husbands know what I'm saying, right? Right, got it? I can't go any further. My wife is here, so let's put it this way. But you say something, and it's on the other end is something else. Think about it. If you are telling somebody about Jesus Christ, and you give the wrong message, this is a serious thing. It's so serious that you go outside, and you see so many people that on Sunday goes to church, and on Monday they don't look like they ever pass in front of a church, right? So it's a lot of wrong message. So we gotta get the right message, leave the right message too. But you gotta get the right message to tell the others what it is, what's the gospel after all. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, it says, Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver to you first that all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So what is the gospel? It's the fact, it's the understanding, it's the proclaiming of God died, and Jesus died and rose from the dead on the third day. That's what the gospel is. It's not about how you can live better. It's not about how you make what makes you feel better. It's not about how popular you can be. It's not about the new car or the new house. It's about Jesus die and he resurrect on the third day. We will be here for hours to go over what all those things apply to your life and how your life has to be changed and what it must happen. It's by grace. It was by the grace of God. You must believe. The Holy Spirit will give you, right, repentance from your sins. Repent and believe. It's so many things, but mainly, it's about telling the work of Christ. That is not by our works. It's not something that you do, but it's something that he did, and that it came and by grace and grace alone, in Christ alone, you are saved. Because you did believe the message. So go out and tell that message. Don't make it up one. The world doesn't need your story about the gospel. They need the true story about the gospel. And that's what Paul says. So the first thing that we must understand is, what is the gospel that I'm proclaiming? What am I telling people? What's the message passing on? Let me tell you this. Years ago, I had a couple. They were going through problems, and this lady, she proclaimed be a believer since she was a little kid at church, and the husband was he was claiming to be a believer for a few years. And they were having problems on their marriage, like serious problems, and they need some help. So I sat down with them on Dunkin' Donuts. That's a great place to evangelize after Panera Bread. That's our thing. So we sat down, and the first thing I said I explained the gospel to them. Like, this is what the gospel is, what salvation is. And she looked at me and she said, "I never heard that." She was on a, like on her 50s. She was telling me, I'm a believer since I'm a little kid. She said, I never heard that. She had no idea what the gospel was. She has no idea. Let me tell you, it's so many people today in the world, they claim themselves as Christians. They don't know what it is. You need to go out and tell them, what is the gospel? What that the implications of the gospel? But again, there will be a long time here. We're going straight to evangelism. What is our mission? What do we have to go out and say? First of all, we have to tell people about Christ Jesus and the work of the cross. The verse 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Listen, when you proclaim the gospel, you should expect two things to happen. Some will believe and will be baptized, and some others will not believe, and they will be or remain condemned. Now you say, well, I would like to know which ones are going to believe. Right? So I'll go straight to those, right? That's where you go. Why are you wasting your time? Right? Does God knows which one's going to believe? Yeah, he elect them. Right? So you just go like, why does God just give us a sign, right? He put a sign, and like, that one. And you go like, you go straight to them, and they will cry, and they will repent from their sins, and you bring them to church. Oh, what a joy. It doesn't work that way, does it? No. Why? But why? Why you have to waste your time to tell the non-believers about Christ if they will never believe you? Why? You know when you have a story and you pick the person that you have to tell the story, right? Because you know that person will believe you. Because some others will not, right? I'm Portuguese, so it's a lot of Portuguese stories that I can only tell to the Portuguese people. Because if I tell Damien, he will never believe me. He has no idea what Portugal is. So, right? So you pick the right person, so you're going to tell a believer, and the Holy Spirit is going to work. Oh, look, think about it. You leave this place today. Right, you leave the church today, you go out, and there is somebody with a sign, say, a big sign, like you see from heaven, like a sign, this one. And you go to them and say, listen, I have something to tell you. And tell the gospel, and that person will cry out and say, yes, I believe. You're like, great, I did not waste my time. Because this person actually was cold. Right? And after that, you go like, who's next? You look around, no signs. So, that one. Right? No, it's not like that. Right? It's not. Will it make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. It will make sense, right? From our perspective. Right? But do you know who's going to believe? No. So, yeah, you are called to preach the gospel, tell the gospel for the person that will never believe. Why? Why? Because listen, and I'm pretty sure you love this one. You know you have been called to live for the glory of God, right? That's what the church is. We live for the glory of God. We get together to worship. Because God is glorified when the gospel is proclaimed. That's why you are called to preach to everyone. Because you don't know who's going to believe. God knows. But every time we preach the gospel, tell the gospel to somebody, God is glorified in heaven. The Christ Jesus is exalted. So that's why we've been called to tell everybody. So when you get out of this room and you see somebody there, just go run to them and tell them the gospel. They're going to believe. You don't know. But you know God will be glorified. If you don't get the right message and you find somebody out there, even if he's an elect, and you tell them your story or your gospel, not the true story, not the true gospel, God is not glorified. But if you find anybody, anyone, and you tell the gospel, God is glorified in heaven. And that's what we've been called to do. That's what we've been called to do. So go and tell the gospel to everyone. Some believe, some will not believe. Some others will not believe. Some will believe and will obey the commandment to be baptized. By the way, there's another commandment there. You're not saved because you have been baptized. A lot of people have been baptized and they weren't saved. Right? But the ones that do believe, they will want to obey the commandment to be baptized. You know what's a sad story? I was raised in church most of my life. and I was refusing to be baptized. You say, Pastor Damien said, if I knew that, I will not put him in the pulpit. No, he knows the story. He knows the story. I told him, listen, until somebody came to me and told me, you know that's a commandment? You're not obeying the commandment? Believe me, that hit me. And I ran as fast as I could. And I spoke with my pastor and he said, I want to be baptized. I said, well, what does make a change in your mind? It's a commandment. I must obey. I love the Lord, I obey the Lord. He tells me to go out and evangelize. I go. He tells me to baptize. I will. He tells me to worship. I will. I'll do it. Because that's what a commandment is. So, whoever believe, you tell the gospel to someone, that person will believe. You'll say, maybe not in the moment, but the time will show. That person say, I want to obey each command. I will be baptized. And the others, they will be condemned. He said, but it, so it doesn't change. It does change because God is glorified. Don't forget that. If you take a while ago somebody asked me, what's wrong with this, with Christianity today, or what's wrong with the, with what was actually a situation on the school with kids and Christians, and I said, you know what's wrong with Christianity today, and this is what I believe, and if you ask to our church, they will answer that to you. I do believe the problem with Christianity, not Christians, Christianity in general, whatever claims themselves Christians today, is we have been taking away the glory of God from the cross. And he put the glory of man. This is all about me. But we know this is all about him, for his glory. So when you preach the gospel, it's about the glory of God. And that's what makes Christianity different than any other religion. If you take the glory of God away, it's all the same. It doesn't matter what you do. It's about you being a nice person and live a beautiful life. And that everybody teaches that. What we believe, it's above all, God is glorified. And everything he does is for his glory. And we get together here to worship for his glory. So you preach the gospel for his glory. You go back home, and you don't measure results. How many did I preach? How many actually were converted by numbers? No, it's by how much of the glory of God. God gave me opportunity to preach the gospel. Let me tell you this. I don't pray. I stopped praying this prayer a while ago. God gave me an opportunity to preach the gospel today. I stopped praying that a while ago. So what kind of pastor is that that stops praying for that? You know what I pray now? God, help me to use every opportunity that you give me to preach the gospel, because those opportunities are all over the place. You go to Panera, there is a person there, right? Preach the gospel to that person. Right, Pastor? This is a joke because we met in Panera and we always, our meetings are in Panera, right? So that's why I'm picking on him, right? But wherever you go, The ones here from Brazil, you go to Seabras, right? And to, what's the other one? Hamburgão. Hamburgão is a great place to preach the gospel. You got this big burger, right? Until you end to eat that old burger, you have plenty of time to preach the gospel to somebody that is there. That's awesome. I love that. All right? You go, wherever you go, it's an opportunity. You go in the train. You go in the bus. You go to the supermarket. It's so many people out there. How come you pray for another opportunity? What do you want? What's the other opportunity? It's right there. You need more opportunities? What are they? What are you expecting to happen? Go out and preach the gospel. Tell everybody you have a reason for it. I gave you a reason for the glory of God. You want a bigger reason than that? How? If you... I don't feel like... Well, it's for the glory of God. You want a bigger reason? What's bigger than the glory of God? It's nothing bigger. Just go out and preach the gospel. Tell people about Christ Jesus. Tell about the work of the cross. And look what the Bible says next, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. They will with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see all these signs happening on the early church, don't you? There is a list of signs here that were happening in the early church. They say, well, if you got those signs today, hey, you did. If we preach the gospel today, if we really commit ourselves to God on the preaching of the gospel, you will see a bigger sign than any of these ones. That is the sinner. Cry out for their sins, walk away from the sinful life, and desire sanctification. Can you imagine? Somebody that is dead in transgressions and sins, and we think so much about that, at least I think a lot about that in Lazarus. He was dead and Jesus called him and he get out. And now a dead person is talking. And no, it's not a movie, guys. It's not a scary movie. No. Jesus spoke to him and you walk out. Listen, you want a bigger sign? You tell the gospel to somebody and that person that is dead in transgressions and sins actually hear the word of God and cry out for their sins and repent and change. And I'm talking about transformation, real, for real, not little things. Not little things that everybody can do. Right? Because sometimes sanctification is a process, right? You get over and things from the world, from the old man, start going away, and your new creation, and little by little, you start having a desire for God and desire for the Word of God, and that's awesome, that's great. But sometimes we think that happen in our life. We see on little things, right? Oh, I'm kind of a better person today. I used to be this way. Now I'm a little better. Brothers, that's not transformation. Maybe you're just getting older, right? Because people, when they get old, they try to. We have two birthdays in our church today. One of the persons is here. He's just getting older. That's awesome, I think. And they two ladies, so you don't say that. But as you get older, you tend to be a little different, right? Right? And then when people get grandkids, they go like, well, I'm so much more lovely with my grandkids than I was with my kids. No, you're just getting older and you don't have to take them home back in the end of the day. That's all it is. That's nothing to do with the transformation. That's nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. There's people quitting from smoking and thinking that's the greatest work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. I know people that quit from smoking because they were about to die if they were keep smoking. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. What I'm talking here. It's a real transformation. Completely. From somebody that was dead in transgressions and sins and now lives for the glory of God. That desires the Lord. When in the past, usually desire themselves. It's knowing, desiring God more than you desire yourself. You want to do the will of God, even that costs you your life. It's rejoice in the Lord when before you used to rejoice in sin. You used to enjoy sin, and now you want God, and you want to be like Jesus. Listen, you want to be like Jesus. Does anybody here wants to be like Jesus? That's what we're talking about here. And acting like a true believer. And you know so well, right? The word Christian comes from there. A small Christ. Like he looks like Christ. That's what a Christian is. Somebody that looks like Christ. And people will look to you and say, can I see Christ? Come home and watch me. That's what a Christian is, right? Somebody comes to you and says, I want to see Jesus. Come to my house. See the way I treat my wife. The way I treat my kids. Because sometimes we forget about that. You want to tell people to be what you don't want to be. I want you to be a Christian. Can you give me an example? Oh, the pastor. Is that the way it works? You gotta live as a Christian. Tell the gospel and your example, who you are, will show people Christ. That is a sign. You want to show people big signs? No, do I believe you were praying for a healing this afternoon, right? Somebody that is sick? Well, I do believe in healing. Don't take me wrong. I believe can do whatever he wants, right? He does whatever he wants. But the biggest sign must happen in your life when you preach the gospel to somebody, for that person to understand the power of God, for that person to see in your life what are you saying. I haven't seen people preaching the gospel on such a way that I go like, in the end, I go like, I don't think I want that, because I don't think you want it either. Did you walk? Did you walk on Walmart? Right? Is a Walmart around here? Is a Walmart all over the place? You walk on the Walmart, and this person selling Verizon, right? It is selling Verizon, and you got to listen to that, right? Because you can't lie. Because if you go like, oh, I do have Verizon, and you don't, you can't, right? So you're Christian, you got to listen. Right? Do you have Verizon? And you go like, I used to. But if you don't have, if you have, you're good, right? So you say, I do, guys. Thanks. How is it working for you? Wonderful. But if you're not, if you have something else, you got to listen, right? Because you can lie. You go like, yeah, I know, I don't. So just why don't you tell me about it? And they go like, tell you, right? In the end, some of the presentations, in the end, you go like, what kind of TV you have at home? Because I don't think you have Verizon. I don't like the way you present that. Do you get that? It happens sometimes. In the end, you go like, I don't think this guy has Verizon, because he doesn't believe what he's telling me. Sometimes you got these guys, you go like, for sure this guy has Verizon, because he really talks about it. He's engaged, right? I work part-time in marketing. So let me tell you, we know the difference. So you see the person, like the sales guy, they really want the product, and the guys, that they have no idea what it is. Sometimes people present the gospels like that. They go present the gospel, and they're like, you know what? I don't even know where to start. Come on, you don't know where to start? You are dead in transgressions and sins. God save you, and you don't know how to start to tell about what you leave? I don't think so. It's something wrong with that presentation. Or you go like, well, I want to respect your beliefs, but what I think, what do you think? I don't care what you think. Are you here because you want to know what I think? I hope not. You want to know about what God thinks? About the Word of God? So you just say it. Oh, but I can't. It's going to be so offensive. Well, do you open the Bible and does not offend you? I'm just going to give you one example. Love your enemies. You open the Bible and you say like, oh, yes. That's all I need. I need to love my enemies. I want to. I'm so desperate to love my enemies, right? No, you're not. It brings you memories of persons that did things against you that now you must love them. And it's so hard, isn't it? It's not like this. Why you want to smooth it out? You want to convince people, or you want the Holy Spirit to convince people? Tell them the truth. You are wrong. Your beliefs are wrong. Jesus is the only way. He is the Savior. We must be very bold. Do you really believe? Just say what you believe. Just open your mouth and tell them. Don't smooth it out. There's no way. We never saw that on the Christian church until a couple decades now. Like, you got to go like, oh, you got to respect everybody. You know, what about the person gets mad with me? Listen, you are talking to somebody that is going to hell. Are you really concerned about they going to think about you? They're going to hell. This I hope it doesn't affect anybody here. I don't know you guys, right? So you go to the doctor and you're very sick, and the doctor goes like, well, I think you're gonna die. So when, doctor? Well, maybe tomorrow. Well, but I'm not so sure. Maybe today. Are you taking this person serious? And you go to the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, you got to do this, otherwise you're going to die. Now you go like, whoa. Reality shock. Whoa. Listen, go outside and tell people, listen, either you believe the gospel or you're going to hell. I usually add to this, that's me, Those days that you say, my life is a living hell, it's an abomination because you have no idea what hell is. Your worst life, your worst day on this life, it's not to compare to 1 second in hell. You have no idea what it is. And you don't want to be there. You just don't know what it is. You need to know. We got to tell people. We got to be serious about it. We got to be bold in what we believe. Tell people, listen, this is serious. It's somebody that actually believes in it. Sometimes I think one of the problems that we're missing, one of the things that we're missing in the presentation of the gospel that we do today is that we are like, you know, yeah, I want to tell you something. It's interesting. Pretty sure that some of the guys in this room will connect to this one. I don't know about the ladies, but the guys will. But the ladies, I'll have an example too. Like we like trucks, right? We like muscle cars. We like V8s, right? And then we talk about these things, and you go like, "Whoa, this is bar!" And well, nobody connected. So sorry about that. Well, my boy connected. And we talk about this, right? Like something that we actually believe, right? And this is wow. Again, it's just me. No, okay. Let's go to the shoes, ladies. Right? So many shoes, right? And this place has so great shoes on sale that you really need. More? How many? Two? One, two? Just two. Okay, never mind. And right? And you tell this, and you find this, and wow! And you tell people so excited about it, and then you tell, and this is just right. In 10 years, doesn't matter if you have the most great truck in the world. In 10 years, is old. If you have the biggest great muscle car, in 10 years, is old. You need to wait another 40 years to have some value on it, which is not going to be around most of the time. So don't go on that. And the shoes will go away because tomorrow a new shoes is coming out that is even have something else that I don't know, I don't understand, but you're going to need it. So it doesn't work. But what are we talking here about? The gospel, the presentation of the gospel is something eternal, and it works for eternal life, and it's the only way for salvation. It's not like you have a Chevy or you have a Toyota or you have something. No, it's not about you go to Macy's or TJ Maxx or I don't know. You go to those things to buy the new shoes. It's the only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And if you don't get that, you go to hell forever because you have been offended an eternal God. And the wrath of God will be upon you forever. Is this serious? Can you think of anything serious, even more serious than this? I can't. So you got to go out and tell people about this. Signs. Yes, many signs could happen from the Lord, and I do believe that. But the greatest sign is that you believe on such a way that you live for the glory of God, and people will see that, and that will start happening in other people. Let's move over to the next verse. I'm trying to check the time too. But I think we're good, right? We're still good. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So listen, there is something in here that is very important. It was the moment that Jesus said that. He gave the church, the early church, those disciples, this commandment, and then he went up to heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Does this give you some joy and hope? Does this give you some comfort? You are going to hell. He saved you, and you are going to heaven. And Jesus said these words, and then you went up to heaven. It's not only that it's so important because Jesus said that, and then he went up to heaven. But it's not only that; it's the fact that he is in heaven where you will be forever. And that gives me the comfort to go out and tell this message to everyone, knowing that what's happened in my life, it's eternal. I don't think so. I don't know many. I would like to have so many words. It's not because my English, as you guys notice, is not perfect, but it's. I used to say that I have an accent, and my son corrects me and said I have just broken English. So that's very comforting. It's a great comfort. Our kids grow, and then they become so wonderful. They are wonderful, but it's not because of that. It's impossible to explain. Can you explain to me what heaven is? So, you know, the Bible, there is a song that says, I can only imagine. That's not going to the group, some of the things are not right. But I can only imagine. Listen, this is so great. Salvation and the fact that our Lord is in heaven. And Jonathan Edwards used to pray, right? Give me a little bit of that, because he wants to have a little glimpse of the glory of God in eternity. Listen, we spend so little time thinking about eternity. We spend so little time. That's why sometimes we are so weak. Looks like there's no hope in us. And you look to Christians, and the Christian is like, how's it going, brother? Hanging in there. Is everything okay? It will be. One day in heaven. What is the joy? What is the joy? Oh, but I'm suffering so much. That's what the disciples, that's one of the reasons why the disciples had so much joy, was because they were suffering. Because of the gospel? What's that? Listen, you're going to heaven. It really matters how hard your life is now? Don't you have joy to go through whatever is going on because your soul, it's saved. And it's on God's hand forever. You will not let it go. You will not let it go. You will be in heaven where He is, and because He is there, and He's alive, and He was resurrected from the dead, you will. Now go out and tell that to the other people. People say, well, you think too much of yourself. No, you think too much of Him. And it's impossible to think too much of Him, because He's everything, everything that you cannot even put in words. When I tell people that I go to heaven, and they say, and you get that a lot, right? You tell people that, oh, I'm saved and I go to heaven, and people say, how do you know that? Right? Who you think you are? What makes you so special? Nothing. It's nothing about you. It's about Him. It's not what you did. It's not what you do. If my joy and my comfort was on myself, I was talking this morning with our brothers in the van. We were going to our morning congregation, and I was telling them, I just read a Bible verse. I don't even know what. Right, I read a Bible verse, and I said, I was not preaching, but when the preacher is in the car, I guess that's always happened. And I was telling them, brothers, if it depends on me, if it was by my works, brothers, it's terrible. So when I say I'm going to heaven no matter what, it's not based on me. It's based on Him. It's based on the work of Christ. It's based of the assurance of salvation comes from the Lord. It's not me. Jesus said, go out to the world and tell all creation. Tell them all about me. And then He went to heaven. And that gives me so much comfort to go and say, because I know I'll be there one day. Because it doesn't depend on me. No, I'm not thinking too much of myself. No. Because my faith is in Him, and it's based on Him. So you don't go out and you tell people, oh, I'm such a good Christian. And sometimes I hear some testimonies, and the person ends a testimony, and I go like, whoa, but Jesus is very smart to save this person. He's so good. Like in the end of the testimony, I got that sometimes, and I hear the testimony of somebody, talking to somebody, and it goes like, oh, I this, I that, and the other thing, I did this, I did. I go like, whoa, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't miss you, right? Because I will be lost in the kingdom. You are so good. Man. I said, whoa. Jesus knows what He's doing by saving this person, right? Can you imagine without this person? Brothers, whoever thinks this way, you got the wrong gospel. You have no idea what the gospel is. You don't know what Jesus is. It's nothing to do with you. Nobody needs... God doesn't need us. He gave us the opportunity to glorify His name. And it's about what He does on us. So the testimony needs to start by, I am a nobody, and should end it, I'm a nobody. For the glory be only for Christ. It's for only the name of the God be glorified. Don't mix things. Well, Jesus died on the cross, but... No, that is no but. Cut it off. Jesus died on a cross, and you were saved by grace, and grace alone, and you, whatever you do is for the glory of God, and you've been called to do that anyway. If we do everything that God, Jesus said, if we do everything that is expect from us, we still nothing. It's still nothing. Brothers, it's not about what you think of yourself. It's about being your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's so great that in Jesus said this and went to heaven right after, and we know that, and our hope is in that final moment, and that helps us to go through whatever it goes in our lives. Just live for the glory of God. But it hurts so much. I believe you. Live for the glory of God. But I'm having so much joy. Great, live for the glory of God in everything that we do, and proclaim the gospel, tell people about Jesus, showing them your how you live through tribulations, hard times, great times, because all times are great for the glory of God. The early church pictured this very well, and they did. Very well. They were living for the glory of God. In times of persecution, in tough times that we not even understand today. Because their hope was in Christ. Brothers, moving to the next verse, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. When they heard this, the commandment was, go to the world, tell everyone. And what they did? They went. They went. They just did. And it's interesting, when you read the book of Acts, and you see that it shows you how the gospel went from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, right? It ends in Rome. Right? Do you notice the book of Acts doesn't show how Paul was killed? You don't have that in the scriptures. You have a little bit of that in 2 Timothy, right in the end. But you don't have the full story. You don't know how Peter died. I mean, you know because you study history of the early church, and you know that. But it's not in the scriptures. What does really looks like the book of Acts if you don't have the understanding of the Holy Spirit and the whole scriptures. If you don't have a good biblical theology, you will not understand the book of Acts. You go like, it's a group of parts of church history that is missing ends, is no ends. So what happened to how James became the leader in Jerusalem? We don't even know and understand that. We got Peter there, and then looks like no one is there. And then how Paul... He went in the end, he was in Rome, but he was a prisoner, and he tells that he preached to everyone, but what he means, you don't have that. You don't have biographies, you don't have those. What do you have? The gospel showed how they reached the world coming out of Jerusalem. I'm like, how did you get that, Pastor? From Paul was in Rome, right in the center of the world back in the times. They were to take the gospel to everyone, and they just did. But for Paul to get there, he was a prisoner. And that's what he wants. He wants to get there. He has to get to Rome, so he doesn't mind to be a prisoner. I mean, there will be a lot to tell here about the book of Acts and the whole history of the book of Acts, but that's what it is. They did. They went out and they told everyone. They were murdered. They were persecuted. They were... there was so many things that happened. The Colosseum was the place that the blood of the Christians, the early church, was like nothing. they get the lions out. They were killed for the gospel, for the glory of God. They took the gospel serious. They took the message serious. They went out and they said it. Sometimes we are afraid to stand up as a Christian in our workplace because we are afraid to lose our jobs. They were not afraid to give their lives away. Let me tell you this. Jesus gave his life away for us. The early church gave their life away for the gospel. And we have been called to do the same. Just go out and tell everybody. They went and they said that. And let me tell you, it's different. It's even different than today. We are living. We should be the best Christians ever. Our generation. We have the full understanding of the gospel, the full understanding that God provides us as humans to have. Because it's interesting when you read the Old Testament and they were just trusting the Lord without not even understanding exactly what salvation was and how they're going to happen, but they were trusting. And then you got the early church, and what happened? They got Jesus was crucified. They saw him going to heaven, but everybody was against them. They were killing and destroying the church. But it was not possible to destroy the church. But that's what they saw, right? And they stood for what they believe. And Hebrews 12:1 says there is a great cloud of witness. And it's even bigger today. Of course, it's related to Hebrews 11. But today, it's even more. It's so many witnesses. We have church history. We spend so much time with church history today. For what? We want to know who John Calvin was? Really matter? It's all about, right? I got to know who he was. I got to know what he said. It's funny because sometimes I got people knowing more about John Calvin than Apostle Paul. I like Calvin a lot, right? But I got to know. And then when it's October, you got to know everything about Reformation. Who was Martin Luther? This is a Lutheran church, right? So you get next door. So you got to know, right? And they know everything about Martin Luther. Listen, that's very important. Those men were very important. They did great jobs. And I love them. I love to study about them. Right? And then you got quotes from Spurgeon. And if you say a quote from Spurgeon, you look so smart. And there is people who not zero theology. But they know a quote from Spurgeon. Sometimes the wrong one. They even quote the wrong person, right? But sometimes it's very funny. My wife got this like this quote on Facebook. And she showed me, look to this quote. And it's great. And then she scrolled down and showed me the picture of the person who posted that. Yeah, like, there's no idea what they're saying. No idea what they're saying because the life doesn't match. You don't live by quotes. You live by scriptures. And scriptures alone. Sola scriptura. You got to trust in the scriptures and understand the scriptures. And they tell you what to live and what to do. But we have all that history, right? All that people. We today. We have 2,000 years of church history just to follow, just to look back. And that's what we love, right? As Reformed, we love that. We love church history. We like that. We like to look back and say, well, they were doing this way, and the apostles did that way, and that leads us to the apostles, right? And we like to be in time looking back and go all the way from Jesus through the apostles, through the church history to us, and we love it even better because biblical theology, we go all the way back to creation, Genesis 1:1. And that's wonderful. Listen, look to that example. God is calling you today to fill that kingdom, the same kingdom of God, since creation. One kingdom, one Lord, one faith is our time, is our turn to get into and proclaim the gospel and keep going until Jesus comes. Listen, how many more days you have to live on this earth? And the answer is, I have no idea. You may have plans for tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to get to tomorrow. You have plans for today, but you don't even know if they're going to make them. How many more hours you have on this earth? You don't know. Because we have no idea. But for every second, it's still time for you to glorify God by proclaiming the gospel. It's your turn. Why do we want to pass it on to the next generation? And sometimes we have so many expectations on the next generation. Like our kids are learning what I never did. What are you doing? What do you know? Because sometimes we look to the next generation, and now we have people coming to the Christian faith. And I was reading on the other day an article, and they go like, well, the young generations are involved in Reformed theology, and they want to know more about Reformed theology. Wow, that's so great in a couple of years. First of all, I question that too. It looks like good. I'm not sure if it's good. It could be just philosophical debate. It could be something like very vague. I want to be see lives changing. I want to see Christ on the young generation. That's what I want to see. Right? That's what really matters. But anyway, that looks great. What about now? Now it's our turn. God is giving us the opportunity now to go out and proclaim the gospel. Now it's our turn. We look back to Acts and say, oh, there was a great time of the church. And we look to Reformation and say, oh, that was so great what they did. Listen, it's your turn today. You have the chance now to go out and tell people about the gospel. So many lost people around you. It's so many people that they don't know Christ in your workplace. It's so many people that don't know Christ in your school, in your street, sometimes inside your house. And you worry about so many other things and not tell them about Christ. And let me tell you, tell about Christ even to Christians. Because you know what Martin Luther said? I have to hear it every day because every day I tend to forget it. Maybe I'm quoting translated from the Portuguese to English, so it probably is not exactly what I said. But that's the sense, the meaning. Let me tell you this. Got to finish, right? I'm sorry, I have to finish. Brothers, listen. This is our chance today to go out and tell the gospel. Quick story. One time, this happened to me twice. I had somebody on the street telling me about the gospel. And you know what? Somebody that I never met before. And this was this man. He was so anxious to tell me about the gospel. And I let him tell me. I even helped him a little bit. Because he was a little confused, right? And he was trying to get it out. And he was doing his best. And I go like, so what I have to do? Do I have to repent? And he goes, yeah, you have to repent. And I was like, whoa. My heart was so, right? Finally, I got somebody to preach the gospel to me, because I'm a pastor. Nobody preached the gospel to me. They want us to preach to the others, right? No, nobody tells me. This guy was telling me. And then when he finished the whole thing, I said, like, brother, thank you so much. I'm a pastor, and I need so much somebody to tell me the gospel. And the guy was like, whew. Right? And some other time, there was a guy living at a church, right? And he was an employee for that church. And I asked him. That I had to ask. Listen, you are from the church. Say, hey, what is salvation? And he started telling me. And the guy was so nervous. He said, like, why you do that? I mean, like, because I want to hear people telling me the gospel. It is true, though. He said, you're deceiving. Well, I told them the truth. Please don't go that way with me, please. Because I need somebody to tell me the gospel. I need to hear it. A lot of times, I love the way Paul Washer presents the gospel. So sometimes, once in a while, I just play Paul Washer. Because I want to hear somebody telling me the gospel. Nobody teach me the gospel. I got to remember again. So this guy, and he was so nervous. And he's telling me, well, I just became a believer. But let me tell you, he had so much to tell me, even if he was nervous. And he told me about Jesus, and he explained to me as much as he could. He just couldn't say hell. So what happened to me if I don't know Jesus? And he was like, well, you know, like, if you don't, you're not going to heaven. I go like, I got that. I want him to tell me that I'm going to hell. But he was not there. So he was around. And then in the end, but he told me. Finally, he had to say, because he was no, well, if I'm not going to heaven, where am I going? So the guy has to say, hell. So when he finished, right, when he finished the gospel presentation, I told him, listen, I'm a pastor. And that guy was like, yeah, great. And he goes like almost to say, why you did that to me? And I go like, you know why? Because I told him, I want to hear it. And I told him, listen, your presentation of the gospel was so good. He was doing it in his heart. He didn't have a plan. He was not even expecting somebody to ask him. But this presentation was great. It was really what he believed. I just told him, listen, next time, don't hesitate and say hell. That's very important for people to know. That's very important. That's the only thing. Because he goes like, how was I? Who am I now, a teacher? Who am I now, a professor? Am I on Sunday school? I got to tell him. I don't even know this church or this pastor. So I know his church, not his pastor. But I said, listen, it was very good. Just one thing. Next time, don't hesitate and say hell. The word is hell. And people need to know they're going to hell. It's very clear. But it was two, I'm just giving you two simple examples. You don't need a big theology. I'm not saying don't study. I study. I'm always encouraging our people to read and read and read, and they give you these big articles, right? I don't think they're too big sometimes. It's funny, when I really love somebody, I give them a book. The institutes of the no, that's too big. No, that's, like, I go somewhere, you get the book, you give the book to somebody, and like, when I get a book, I get so excited, I get so happy. There's so many books that I didn't read, I want to read. It's so much that we need to study. Study. Listen, I went back to study in October. I'm doing something because I need to study. I need to study. I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying that. But don't wait until you know everything, because you will never know everything, and you don't know how many more days you have on the earth. Go out and preach the gospel, brothers. Go. It's the mission of the church. It's the mission of all of us. You must go, and you must tell everybody about Jesus. Three reasons. No, this time I'm gonna stop. I promise. Three reasons. First, the main, God is glorified. Second, you don't know if you're gonna have another chance. I'm not saying you don't know if that person will not have another chance. You don't know if you're gonna have another chance. Maybe it's gonna be your last time, your last chance to tell somebody about Jesus. It's your opportunity to join the 2,000 years of history, of church history. Third, yes, it could be the last time, chance that person has to hear the gospel. You don't know. So go out and tell the gospel. Proclaim Jesus Christ. Tell everybody what happened in your life and what must happen on people's life. Let's pray together.